In setting the stage, I want to start with a very, very basic idea. Newspapers are access to information for their readers and access to eyeballs for their advertisers. The newspapers earn most of their revenues from advertising, and advertisers pay the newspapers to get ad messages in front of readers' eyeballs. These transactions on an industry-wide basis yield about 80% and probably rising of the industry's revenue. That's where the money is. Now, newspapers deliver advertising to customers along two general paths. The more traditional one involves in-house ROP printing and distribution using cold web newspaper presses. That, of course, has been around for more than a century, and it remains mostly black and white. The more recent path involves the printing of separate inserts under either newspaper or advertiser control, typically in high quality color, and with the newspaper often providing only the packaging and distribution. There were some isolated examples of this pattern generations ago, but in the last 30 years or so, it's become the main event. Machine packaging, which has made all of this possible, got started right after World War II. Pete Tassinari and Doug Gibson told me that their first inserting machine went into the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1944, and two more went in right after the end of the war, and within another 10 years, there were a couple of hundred inserting machines around the country. The first machines would handle 8 into 1, but now, of course, we're up into, I don't know where the limit is, it's about 100 into 1, I suppose. In the beginning, only the Sunday paper was packaged. The daily paper came out of the press and went right out the door that way. It was typically a collect product. Most of the early Sunday parts were originated by the newspapers themselves. There were locally edited Sunday magazines, and a few of those still exist. There was a locally selected comic section, and there were one or two or three typically ROP parts in the paper. Only the comics were in full color. The magazines went to color during the 60s, and the newspaper advertisers were seeking the same kind of color. During the 60s, many of the national advertisers started to get commercial printers to print advertising sections and then get the newspapers to take responsibility for packaging and distribution. This was not popular with the newspapers, but since they lacked any alternative to provide high-quality color, they accepted the bargain, and the advertising inserts began their very steep growth curve. The first insert in which I had any personal contact appeared in October 1965 on behalf of the 1966 line of Ford automobiles. It was the first insert ever accepted at the New York Daily News, an 8-page full-color gravure tabloid which we distributed for $8 per thousand. We had no in-house inserting capability, so we relied on our dealers to assemble this additional Sunday part. About 35 million copies of that insert were distributed via newspapers across the country. In the intervening period, inserts had been growing consistently. The national advertisers all migrated first, then the regional advertisers and the retailers made the move. All those department store ROP pages that appeared in newspapers during the 60s were inserts by the 70s or so. I remember at one point in the 80s, Macy's in San Francisco had stitched magazines of 56 or more pages in all the large Sunday papers out there. Now, of course, the department stores are having their own difficulties, but they were very much kings of the retailing hill at that point. The insert packages increased in size and in color content. I think the last major retailer to leave ROP type printing was Circuit City, that checked out of ROP, well, actually separately printed inserts, but on newspaper type presses in the late 90s. And now just about everybody is full color on a glossy stock. The major bastions of ROP advertising now are autos, real estate, and employment, the classified groups, where the strong multi-vendor marketplaces spur reader interest that would be lost if the individual vendors had their own separate inserts. But even there, as Bill alludes to in his work in Indianapolis, many papers are moving to separate printing processes for real estate and autos as they discover that their advertisers want more color than they can produce in a standard ROP format. So we are now at a cusp in the long-term evolution from newspaper as printer to newspaper as distributor. Inserts have been increasing as a percentage of the total ad area delivered by newspapers ever since it got started in the 60s. For many papers, that percentage is now reaching or exceeding 50%. That is, there's more advertising square inches in front of your readers from inserts than in front of what you're producing on your own newspaper presses. Now, these insert percentages tend to be smaller at the larger papers, but even at the scale of the Cincinnati Enquirer, which is my hometown paper, it's about 50%. I took a recent week and measured it all to support that statement, and it's just about 50%. I know from some work I've done with smaller papers, especially in the Southwest, that they probably crossed the 50% point several years ago because they're very strong in inserts and rather weak in display ROP. So the message I'm urging on you today is that newspapers are not, now and for the future, should not be thinking of themselves primarily as printers of information, but primarily as packagers and distributors of information, including, of course, the advertising. Now, we're going to work on this in a number of ways in these couple of days. Hybrid printing is a particularly fertile subject because hybrid printing is the origin of many of the pieces that are being put in our newspapers as inserts. Inserts aren't going away. The opportunity of the advertisers to have a single source of quality control over printed products appearing in many outlets is a strong motivator for them, even stronger than price. I think packaging has become the largest work group at most of our newspapers, operations work group anyway. Dimensions are all declining. This is something we're having to deal with. It's making tougher bundles to put together as the small page sizes don't give the nice square bundles that come out of ROP products. Titles are increasing, as of course Bill has alluded to. Single sheet advertising and some very thin single sheets are becoming big factors. Newspaper consumption, newsprint consumption by American newspapers is, I guess, in about the 9 million tons range. There are about 3 million tons, and this is my guess, of inserts distributed by newspapers. There are no figures that I'm aware of that really track this with any degree of accuracy, but just in general, about a third of the volume that we put out is represented by the inserts. Let's talk a little bit about penetration. The truly mass media are all gone. TV is no longer, no individual TV network is any longer a mass medium. The newspapers are no longer a truly mass medium. A strong local newspaper today has the best penetration of its market of any single competitor, regardless of whether that competitor is print or electronic. But the paid penetrations of newspapers are not high enough to satisfy the reach objectives of most advertisers without a non-subscriber supplement. While many small newspapers still enjoy 50 to 60% household penetration in their core markets, penetrations tend to decline as the market size rises. Few large papers exceed 40% penetration, and in some of the largest markets, New York, LA, Chicago, the largest paper reaches less than a quarter of a household. These very large papers tend to be zoned more demographically. They're going after the high income reader in their markets rather than trying to reach the mass subscriber base. In this context, a non-subscriber package is essential to meet advertiser needs, and that package needs components that will get it read in the target household. Putting last week's classified in your non-subscriber package might not cut it in terms of getting that package paid attention to. This all brings up the question of paid versus non-paid circulation and what's happening there. To what extent should the value of regular access to a household or a consumer support delivery of a no-charge product to that household? Most newspapers are providing once-a-week coverage beyond their paid base, and an increasing number are providing twice-a-week coverage. In particular, the weekend coverage of non-subscribers with the big Sunday insert package is an area of potential value to newspapers. And then there's the question of the boundary between free and paid circulation. I think circulation prices are becoming viewed more as a validator of customer desire for the product than as a revenue mechanism. For example, the Orange County Register launched last week a new tabloid daily with a cover price of 25 cents and a home delivery price of $19.99 per year. That's about 6 cents a copy. I know that some other dailies have established similar prices in specific segments of their markets. In general, I think that many of the trade-offs between circulation penetration and circulation revenue are being resolved in favor of higher penetration, which makes sense given the fact that 80% and probably soon to be 85% of the total newspaper revenue are coming from advertisers. I wrote down a few takeaways I'd like to leave for you. First, packaging is the best tool for zoning. Joe Andres and the new WeFog installation in New Jersey are an example of some of the things that can be done on press. But basically, the efficiencies of on-press product changes are not as great as in inserting equipment. And microzoning is going to remain strictly in the inserting this area rather than in the press area. And single sheet inserts are probably the best tool for serving local advertisers serving highly specific areas. Address-specific packaging will be essential, at least on a weekly basis. And carrier systems must also be adapted for address-specific delivery, unless you wish to rely totally on the post office for that kind of delivery. Rising expectations for zoning and accuracy have made packaging progressively more information intensive. Six zones and 98% accuracy were okay a generation ago, but the ABC packaging audits are going to up the bar very substantially. Packaging determines customer presentation. Customer presentation is a term I think deserves more use in our industry. A well-assembled package adds to the credibility of all its components. Incidentally, have you ever thought about what it would take to get all the inserts in a package facing up? I don't know of any newspaper that's ever addressed this issue, but it seems to me to be one that would be worthy of some attention. Distribution factors have to be considered together with packaging. It's really a single process that starts with a bunch of pallets on the mailroom floor and ends at the customer destination. Are you using your own carriers, USPS, or some combination? The USPS criteria are pretty rigid, but a dedicated carrier system provides a lot of choices. How many parts should the carriers get? Where should they be bagged and how? How do you improve the customer presentation while observing the independent contractor criteria? In spite of the limitations of our cold web newspaper presses, they produced almost all of our editorial content and our signature components. We need from those presses quality that looks good in the context of the many heat set and gravure inserts. That said, packaging frees the newspapers from the constraints of their legacy presses. We can see from the processes and dimensions chosen by insert advertisers that newspaper presses are not their printing tool of choice. Packaging gives us the ability to satisfy their printing preferences, whatever they may be. The daily early morning access to about half the households in the country is something that's not duplicated by any other medium. Newspapers may be more complicated than TV to use, but they have some unique access, and packaging is what pulls together all the components that benefit from that access. Thank you very much.
Well, Alan, yeah, did set the stage, and it becomes paramount. I don't have to tell you that the things that he brought out, the tougher bundles that we're dealing with, the complexities that we're dealing with, the wider range of products, all are putting pressure on the vendors to address those needs. And that's why the rest of the program kind of segues into what are the vendor solutions to handle all these challenges. And then, of course, too, what you're getting the sense of in this keynote is that there are eyeballs that are going to have to be attended to. It's no longer the mass medium, as we all know. It is the importance of getting to those eyeballs, and as Alan brought out, there's a demographic issue, there's the targeting issue, how much penetration you have. All that is what advertisers are looking for. They have limited funds now, and they need to get their money's worth. So you need to have the capability to provide them what they need to do. I know at Chicago Tribune, we've provided an extraordinary amount of zoning and microzoning capabilities, only to find out that, well, not to find out, but we need another level, that next generation of capability in order to get that better, finer penetration and targeting and to address their needs. And that puts pressure on buying the technology to do that, the controls and all the other equipment that's required. So the microzoning, all that is important, and hopefully our vendors will address that as we move along in the program.